Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome to Siempre Pa'lante. Pa'lante. Siempre Pa'lante.
Bienvenido, mi gente. Welcome to Siempre Pa'lante, Always Forward. I'm your host, Gerardo Luis Alvarez. Gracias for listening. In this episode, our guest is building on a family legacy that began in Cuba more than 50 years ago. One pastelito at a time, this immigrant story is all about the American dream, el sueño americano. He shares his journey on becoming part of the family and learning the business. From pastelitos to cangrejitos, get your cafecito ready. Please welcome the CEO of Vicky Bakery, Alex Santiago. What is Vicky Bakery and who is Alejandro? What do you do for Vicky Bakery?
So I am Alejandro Santiago. I am married to the youngest daughter, Elizabeth Santiago, of the original founders, which were Gracia and Antonio. Their story is amazing, man. It's just like so many other Hispanics that have come over for whatever reason. Empezaron de nada. Echaron para adelante en este país a través de su esfuerzo y su trabajo, where they came over, they struggled, they did what they had to do to make it happen. Their story in particular is actually really beautiful. They met in La Vencedora, which is a famous panadería. So she used to work in the front and he was a panadero. They worked it out. They got married over there. They had two kids over there, which is Vita and Pedrito, and they moved over here. Immediately, you know, they got to start on the American dream. Where the American dream for a lot of people is do better than your parents. The American dream for an immigrant when they get here, them, for my parents, it's set up a base so that their children can do better than them. And that's exactly what they did. Antonio would wake up in the morning. He had three different jobs. He worked at dos panaderías during the day. He worked lavando lata and doing whatever at restaurants in the afternoon. Gelasia, she worked making carteras, believe it or not, while she took care of the two kids. And little by little, they did that. When they had a little bit of coin that they could save up, they started their first business, una dulcería, and they started bringing their family, like everybody does. Everybody in Cuba is having a hard time, started helping out the family. They brought in the family got here, and immediately the family started to help. And so that momentum was able to carry the family forward. First bakery didn't do so great. That one had to shut down. They opened a second one. That one burned down. But the beauty of it is they never gave up. They kept going. Third one was the Vicky Bakery that they found right next to the airport by Lejeune in 1972. It's amazing the way it kind of happened. Antonio started it. He was wholesale. He was making pastelito for the lonchero. He would make them for 3 cents a pastel. He would send it to the lonchero. And the neighbor started complaining because there was a line of lunch trucks around the block a las cuatro de la mañana. Everybody's complaining, so echaron pa'lante. Went to the city, they go, hey, what's going on? He got an inspector there, and the inspector tells him, look, I'm sorry, I know you're working hard, but this is not wholesale, this is retail. What are you going to do? We can't have you do this. So if viejo goes, pon una vidriera, ahí mismo in the sidewalk. He didn't care. He goes, look, that's retail now. Y puso a la niña, que se encargara del mostrador. What they didn't realize at the time was that between Lejeune y toda la factoría that there were, estaba Vicky Bakery. So they would get 10, 15, 20,000 people walking right in front of that pastelera every morning on the way to la peletería, la fábrica de ropa, all that stuff. So they get off the bus, they walk by there, they buy un pastelito. Pastelito was 15, 20 cents. It's a lot more than 3 cents. They weren't dumb. So poquito a poco, they started cutting off los loncheros and then they just kept on with the público. And that's the beginning of where it is, you know, hard work, being able to take advantage of opportunities. A lot of people said, no, tenían suerte, no. Cuando le vino la oportunidad, supieron aprovecharlo, which is different. How many times have you had the opportunity to do something and, te cohibe because you don't know if it's going to be working out or you're comfortable where you are? They were smart enough. They had the opportunities. They knew when to take advantage of it. And from something that small, they were able to create where we are today. And that's the origin story. It's like a superhero story for me because the family is, it's everything, right? It's a love story. It's a family story. It's a business story, you know?
That to me in itself, like you said, it's perseverance. El sueño americano. It's about leaving this world a better place for your family, for your future generations, so that they're in better shape. You do some interesting things for Vicky Bakery. So you want to share a little bit about what you do and what do you enjoy about it?
So my story is very similar. My parents also come from Cuba. They come from Camarín. They worked their whole lives to set things up. It was different for me. I went through school. I went through stuff. When I finished school, though, I didn't have what I know now on how to be able to help our kids get to college and do stuff like that. I got a scholarship to UM. UM was giving me $5,000 a year. That was amazing. I thought I had it made. And then I asked how much it cost, and it cost $25,000 a semester to go. So I wasn't going to go to UM. I signed up for the Army. I got my education in management through the military when I was done. As a matter of fact, right before I left, I met my future wife, Elizabeth. She put up with all that craziness while I was in the military. We had a little setback. My mom had some health issues. I had to leave early. And I came here. But through all that, my wife was with me. And when I went to Antonio and I go, you know, me fui a pedir la mano, he goes, mijo, tú no sabes hacer nada, menos disparar. Y eso aquí no te sirve para nada. You know? So he goes, si tú te quieres casar con mi hija, tienes que hacer pastel. And he was not kidding. He showed me, he took me, he finished turning me into a man, honestly, because coming from the Army, I really didn't have any marketable skills. He showed me how to be a panadero, how to be a pastelero. As a matter of fact, it's a funny story. Los cangrejitos de party are delicious. Es un pastelito con un poquito de carne. Then you wrap them up and then you roll it like a croissant. And then you glaze and you finish it. Pero el trabajo de cortar el cuadradito ese, meterle relleno y hacerle pastel, that was me. To be able to get married to my wife and go on a honeymoon, I didn't know all this. We got married October 15th. October 31st is Halloween, one of the biggest days of the year. I had to make 100,000 cangrejos so that Antonio would let me go. I would wake up at 6 in the morning and I would be there at 6 at night. And when they were closing, they kicked me out. I had to do los cangrejitos and I had to do lo quesito de party. That was my introduction to the family. And listen, I don't regret it. I don't regret it. It showed me that you got to stick to it, that there's a payoff in the end and hard work is worth it. You know, if you learn to do something well and you do it with a passion, it's worth it. From there, I did start going to business school at FIU. Antonio retired. He came back because, you know, como todo viejo que trabaja, he was not going to stay retirado. Se retiró for like 18 months, no lie. He sold the original store to one of his kids. Then he opened the one que está en la 16, la 49, which is down here behind Westland Mall. If you've ever been to Hialeah, you've been by there. And he started that in 95. So 95, he starts that from scratch. I mean, at his age, he's supposed to be retired. He says, I can't do it. He gets all his money that he has for retirement. Que la vieja tiró tremendo. No sé cómo le abrió la puerta when she told him que había puesto ese negocio. Pero they support each other. He did the investment. He set it up. And she went to work with him, just like when they first started, man. That couple's amazing. And I worked with them at that store while they were there, while I was going to school. Eventually, about 5-6 years later, he looked at me, he goes, oye, me debías haber quedado retirado, because now I remember why this job's too hard. And he actually sold it to my wife and myself. And so we've been at that location, she and I, since 2000. Those were the original three stores. It was 49th Street. It was Southeast Bakery, which is the original one. That one was ours. The 16th Avenue was ours. 49th Street was Pedro y Amy, which is his son, my brother-in-law, and Southeast Bakery was being run by Carmen and Fernando Ramos, my sister-in-law and her husband. And from there, things were going good. We started to expand. Once we got the hang of it, I opened a second store. Pedro had another store. Fernie and Carmen opened another store in Cooper City. We opened a third store. All the while, we had the friends. Hey, Dad, let us go. You know, this is a good deal. You know, we'll help you out. We can work together. You make your pastelitos. We'll open another store. And not thinking that anything was going to be very formal, it very organically materialized. We opened the first stores. They were either pariente o amitade, right? People that we had confianza. People that we knew that they were going to be able to maintain the traditions que había empezado. Because at the end, all this was started by them. I think I speak for the family, actually, when I say our job is to make sure that those opportunities that they set up for us, we are setting up for the next generation. We can't stop where they stopped, because that's also where we started. But we have to continue, and we have to give that opportunity to other people. When I look around today, I find that it's not as easy to get that first step from an amahalor to owner, to be able to get to that next level. It gets a little bit harder every generation. You'll find that with the exception of one or two stores, they're all owned by individuals. Now that we started franchising, we've been able to maintain the opportunity for the little guy to get to the next level if they wanted to. There's nothing wrong with going to work, clocking out at 5 o'clock, if that even exists anymore, and going home and being home with your family. Everybody has that opportunity. But if you want to build something, if you want to create something, it's hard to find those opportunities. So I'm pretty proud to consider that we still offer that to the local communities, to the people around us. Not everybody, because to be a biggie, you have to be able to acoplar con la familia.
Did you know, sabías que? In 2022, Vicky Bakery celebrated its 50th anniversary. It started with a pastelito and a dream. The American dream, el sueño americano. Antonio and Helacia Cao fell in love over 50 years ago while working at Cuba's most renowned bakery at the time, La Vencedora. The couple married and migrated to Miami as political exiles, and soon had enough money saved up to buy a small bakery in Hialeah. In 1972, Antonio and Helacia opened Vicky Bakery. I started making pastries here the way I made them in Cuba, and they've been incredibly successful, says Antonio. To this day, we haven't changed the recipe, and to this day, it continues to be one of the better pastries that my clients say they have eaten. Vicky Bakery continues to grow with 20 locations throughout South Florida. They are spreading joy in the community, one pastelito at a time. I can sure go for a cafecito y pastelito. Good thing they ship nationwide via GoBelly. So if you're not in South Florida, no worries. Vicky Bakery got you covered. Ya tú sabes, now back to the show. The story is absolutely amazing, and your franchising is growing and growing. And what I love about Vicky Bakery, I mean, I can't deny the cortaditos. I can't deny the pastelitos. I love all that stuff. But when you walk in, you get that vibe. The vibe is not different from another Vicky Bakery. That's, I feel, something important. You hear about these stories about businesses. They get big, they open up one here, one there, and then along the way, the flavor, the culture of that business kind of loses its shine, its luster. Vicky Bakery does not lose that. It gets better. Share with us a little bit about that, because I think that's important.
So two or four tenets here is consistent quality and service. The service is very important. What we've been able to do is, because it's always been very, very family oriented, we have employees for partners, really, that have been with us 20, 30 years. I have a young lady. She works with me here at the commissary. I've been at Vicky Bakery for 27 years. That lady was at Southeast when I got there. She was there before me. If you ever go to 49th Street, you can't miss her. She's been there before I got there. That's true for a lot of our employees. We have twins that they were going to high school. This was a summer job, weekend job. This was probably 20 years ago that they've been with us now. They used to be just pasteleros. Now they're managers helping me run certain areas of production. So service for us is really important. It's funny. If you walk in the stores in the morning, sometimes if you've never been there before, you'll hear somebody say, hey, 350. As soon as somebody walks in. We don't know their name necessarily all the time, but if you come, 350 means it. El pan cubano, café con leche, y el pastelito de guayaba, for example. As soon as you walk in, we recognize you. And after a while, you will stop being that number. You will have a name, and you'll know us, and we'll know you, and we get to know your story, and that's part of it, right? It's not a franchised bakery so much as we're trying to get a neighborhood bakery in more places. That stuff that we do, I think it's well-received anywhere you go. The quality has to be there, because if not, you're going to buy a pastelito, you're going to walk out the door, you're never going to see that again. You're going to say, oh, that sucks, which, by the way, doesn't happen. I remember I was willing to pay $100 when I was in the Army. I was up in Missouri in the mountains, Army paid for everything. I didn't have anything but cash in my bank account, nothing to spend it on. I would have spent $100 si me hubieran dado un pastelito. Not that there's anything wrong with other food. Pastelitos are special. That service, that is so important to what we do, because we want you to feel like, hey, we're there for you. Come on in, bring in your kids. I have a picture from my bautizo with a cake from Vicky Bakery. So there's a chance that I ran into my wife 18 years before I met her. So my mom got the cake at the same place. And we've seen that happen so many times where the grandmother would buy the cake for the daughter and celebrate the birthday and then celebrate the wedding and then celebrate the baby shower and then the bautizo. And then, the, you know, it just keeps going. And so we've seen generation after generation come through the door. And that's special. We know we're doing something right when las abuelitas are bringing in los nietos and telling them and sharing with them, you know, because las abuelas son, they're hard, bro. If you don't do things right, they will not take you back. The other part is the quality. We've been able to do things by modernizing a little bit. We have mechanized to a certain degree, but never to the point where we jeopardize what we do by hand. So there's ways of doing what we do 100% with a machine. When we got together, we used to do everything at each individual store. Now we fabricate a little bit more centrally. Everything is still baked off every day at the store. That's why you get the smells and that's why you get the freshness. And when you bite into a pastelito or you bite into an empanada or pan cubano, it's still soft. Everything is finished at the store, but we created an assembly plant where we do the mixes, we run the lines, the pasteles are all done here. We couldn't do it at the store level with as many stores as we've expanded to. So we've mechanized quite a bit. But instead of going 100% mechanization, we only went 80%. Cada pastel se coge, se toca, se mira. Adelfa, the young lady that was there before me, she's now responsible to make sure that la calidad del pastel is still the same. You know that you're getting the stuff the same way that Antonio used to make it back in 1972, 73, because the same people are doing it, they're checking it. Quality control is built into our process because we never just said, okay, this doesn't matter, just run it through the line. That's not what we're about. Cada pan lo cogen, lo ponen en la lata, the same way it's always done. Los pasteles are still picked up by hand. It's a sense of pride for us. We might not make as much money as we could, but that's not our job. We're not here to explode overnight. It took 50 years to get here. So I don't see where it finishes. Let my kids do that. I don't have to get to the end line. Let them do it, or my grandkids. That's what Antonio wants, right? That's the American dream. Set up the foundation so that your kids can do better.
I can't agree more. And I love the gems you're just dropping here. Like, esas son cosas cultural, like la historia de la familia. Tan importante. It's so important what you're saying and what you're sharing. It goes back to how serious you take that pride that you take in creating this product, this experience, because it's not even a product, it's an experience.
Don't forget about our people too. Remember, some of those people that are making pastelitos today, that's the next generation of Helen and Antonio's. They're here, right? They came over. We recognize that at a certain degree, a lot of our jobs are entry level. I don't begrudge anybody because they come in here. This is transitory job. They're here for a year, 2 years. You've heard the stories, right? We've had medico, ingeniero, contratista, everybody's come through here. And by the way, they help to create in one way or another. We've had mecánico industrial that have come in here and helped us make what we do better, optimize the machines or work on our refrigeration equipment. We depend on them as much as they depend on us. So we never begrudge anybody because they tell us, hey, we're leaving. That is great. You always have la puerta abierta. Make sure you're doing it because you're going to a better place. You know that if something happens, you can come back, but I hope you the best because that's the next generation. So it's not about us making money. It's not about us making everything by machine. We got to keep it so that these jobs, these people, they're still here 20, 30 years from now.
Mi gente, when you get a chance, take it a step further after you listen. Help support Siempre Pa'lante by making a donation. This helps keep the lights on and, more importantly, brings you more cultural content and live events. Instead of buying that cafecito or fresh bagel, visit linktree.com/sp.alwaysforward. linktr.ee
www.sp.always/sp.alwaysforward. Or go to the show notes for more info. Gracias.
You touched on a lot about family. I want to ask you a little bit about the culture growing up in your household and the influences you had, because obviously Antonio played a big role in mentoring and taking you under his wing. But before Vicky Bakery, what were some of the influences growing up that you hold to your heart, you hold dear, the stories or traditional things that really have inspired you, that have stayed with you to this point?
When I think about my family, man, my family was, it's a lot of people. Where do you start? I had una bisabuela. She died at 104 years old. Esa vieja era de hierro, bro. I'll never forget, teníamos una finquita down south. Ella tenía un bastón, pero era de mentira. She walked around that thing at 95 years old. Teníamos tres gallinas, and I would walk around that place, and I cogía la gallina, y la tiraba a ver si volaba, and she'd walk behind me con el bastón. No, hold on. That's how we grew up, you know, in family. It's our culture. We moved around a lot while we were getting our footing. I remember riding bike por La Pequeña Habana. We lived on 10th Street, right in the Shenandoah area. And I would ride bike while all that area, the roads were being fixed up. I would go up and down those little hillocks and stuff that they had. But as far as training, my grandmother, you know, my mom was always working. Your old man was working. So I'll never forget. The thing that I hold dear and the one lesson I'll never forget, my grandmother always told me, cuando tú te acuestas, la cabeza que está en la almohada es tuya. You have to think about what you did every day. You're the one that has to live with your actions. You have to be good enough para dormir tranquilo, or else you're never going to rest. Who did I screw? Who did I mess with? A quien le medí to get to where I am? If you're telling me what's the biggest impact that is that one lesson, my grandma, and it's true. Like, I'm not saying, right? Everybody's done something. I've experienced what happens when you don't have a good day. I'm not saying always be un santo, but always be cognizant that al final del día, esa almohada en la cabeza tuya, you know what you did and you have to live with those consequences.
That's what Siempre Pa'lante is all about. It's about culture. It's about family, legacy, and also things you can learn from other cultures. And that right there, ese consejo is platinum. Now, with those traditions, was there a moment or a gathering that really stands out that you would like to share of something special that you continue to this day?
Our traditions were Easter Sunday, Dia de Resurrección, after Mass, everybody gets together. 24, Noche Buena, eso. That one is spectacular. Y el día 31, la despedida. Now it's a caja china. In the old days, we would dig a big old hole in the backyard. Asar el puerco. Tradition is family, man. And like, it doesn't have to be blood. You know, it was todos los vecinos. It was los amigos de los primos. Everybody would just get together, and we still do. We don't buy a house without looking at the backyard to make sure that everybody fits. We rotate. Pedro and Amy will take care of Easter, or they'll take care of Mother's Day, and then Carmen and Fernie will take care of Easter. We'll take care of Thanksgiving, and Noche Buena still en Casa La Vieja. So it's always there. If it is at somebody's house, it's at Carmen and Fernie's house, but we start at 9 o'clock at night because tenemos que dejar la dulcería limpia, la dulcería cerrada. We don't even make it to their house till 7 o'clock. The 31st is the best because everybody just goes in their pajamas, you know? It's a little bit different than just the way I grew up doing it, but we still get together. It's family. You know, COVID was the perfect example. Because of COVID, we had to be careful with what we do. So there was one Christmas there that we just did not get together. And it just did not feel like Christmas. You know, the tree was up. The kids were still excited to open the present. But even the kids knew. It's not el 25 if you didn't pasar Noche Buena junto, you know. It misses something. The same for el 31. And COVID was hard. At the stores, we couldn't let the people in. We did a lot of curbside. We miss that relationship with our customers, with our friends, with our family, the people that would come in every day. You know, with the schools closed, we didn't get to see the kids every morning for their cafecito. I know. Listen, 8-year-olds drinking cafecito, I'm not saying it's a good idea. But the truth is, you're giving them café con leche, una tostada, you send them to school. That's the teacher's problem, not yours, right?
This is important because I really wanted to touch on this word adversity. facing challenges. I'm sure going through it, you had a pull from different sources of energy, God being one, right? But there was other things that had to push you because it's tough. Like you're making decisions that are not just impacting your family, but the livelihood of many people in the Vicky Bakery familia. So share with me some of the things that helped you get through during those times.
When COVID was at its strongest, they were keeping people back. We went to a skeleton crew. I started doing the numbers. How many people depend on Vicky Bakery? We currently have more than 500 employees. Think about that for a moment. I had to, right? I was like, that's 500 families that one way or another depend on their livelihood through us. We couldn't just shut the doors. We had to pivot. We had to figure something out. There is no, sorry, guys, we'll call you when this is over. How do you do that? People have been with us, like we were talking about earlier, for so many years. How do you do that? So we did get government help. And for that, politics aside, at that moment, it was very important for us. We took the PPP loans and all that stuff, and we did not cash out. We did share it with our employees. We made sure, hey, you guys don't have to come in. And there were some stores, I remember, in La 16 in particular. We kind of got my family together, and it was my daughter and my wife working in Motelón, and me and my son working in the back, friendo rueda, cocinando, like I used to do back in 1996. I just never did it with my kids. And it was amazing for us. It's one of those things where it really was. But at the same time, the people who were there, we moved to the other store in 68th Street, and we were able to keep both stores open. So not only were we able to keep the people who were healthy and willing and wanted to come employed, we kept the people who could not come. It wasn't like Antonio. I mean, Antonio, when he first started, he got blown out of an oven. The gas exploded and he got sent across the room. I wasn't there. These are stories. Might be a little exaggeration, but we're Cuban. It's part of the story, right? We can't exaggerate. We can't talk. But that's the thing, right? It wasn't the stuff that they did, but it's the stuff that we've done and we've experienced that's humbling. This is Alex, president of Vicky Bakery, with my buddy Giraldo, y están escuchando Siempre Pa'lante.
There's something that every guest on the show, I throw this word at them, legacy. What does legacy mean to you?
If by legacy you mean what I'm leaving behind and what I want to be remembered, honestly, there's nothing special about me. There's nothing that I do that anybody else could not do. I just stood on the shoulders of giants, Hera and Antonio, and their family that helped them build what they did. And I just took the baton. And so my legacy needs to be that while it was entrusted to me, that I did the best that I could. I'm not saying I didn't, you know, there weren't mistakes along the way. I'm sure that history will say, coño, he should have done this, or por qué no hizo eso, or whatever. It's going to happen. But while it was entrusted to me, I did as best as I could. Por la noche, cuando ponía la cabeza en la almohada, con la conciencia limpia, you know? And that when I passed it on, it was a little bit better than when I found it. So it cannot be that I got it from here and I gave it back to them here because of Casey. What good was I? So I spent 20 years doing something. Y al final, es donde mismo empezando, I didn't do anything. So whether it be my nieces and nephew, which are already opening, Vicky, who's named after the bakery, not the other way around. And if you see her, she hates that story. She likes to tell people that it's named after her. But Vicky, she opened her store in Hollywood. Lily and Tito, they're opening in Homestead. This is what is supposed to happen. We're growing little by little, giving the opportunities to those who come looking for that American dream, but also to lay the foundations so that ours can also continue growing. And it's not jamón. It's not that I finished college, let me go work at Vicky in the main office. What are you bringing? You've got no life experience. You're just going to do what you've seen. No se aprecia. It's go out there. It's do we'll be here for you. If you fall, if you fail, you know that we're your family. But that's what I want the legacy to be, that I did better than where I started, and I left it better for the next generation.
Gracias, Alex, for sharing your story. El Sueño Americano is alive and well. The memories Vicky Bakery continues to create is the reason it's the go-to spot for countless generations in South Florida. It's more than pastelitos, it's about familia. Qué sweet it is. Next time I'm in town, you know I'm looking you up so we can have a cafecito and a few pastelitos. You know I just can't have one. Until then, te deseo lo mejor y más. Mi gente, don't forget to rate, review, follow, like, subscribe, and share. It goes a long way. You can find the show via Anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check the show notes to learn more about Alex and Vicky Bakery. A special Palante shout out goes to my editor, Santiago, guests, familia, and listeners. Gracias for your support. We'll be taking a short break next week and coming back in February to celebrate Black History Month with more inspiring cultural content. Keep tuning in and share the show with a friend. Hasta la próxima. Palante.